This time I'd like to direct your attention to this little handout as we'll do like a little mini Bible study or talk about what the Bible has to say about our topic today. And I'd like you to maybe take this home this week and reflect on it. There's a couple reflection questions. Today our topic is, why should we consider giving? And don't worry, we're not going to hand out cards for you to write how much you're going to give the church. We're not going to ask you to give all this money today. Our goal is not to raise all this money to build this kingdom for God. Okay? First of all, we want to thank you, Chapel of Cross, for what you have done. And the leadership wants to thank you. You guys have done a great job in taking care of the needs of this church. Thank you. But in Thanksgiving time, November, December, we as Christians, especially American Christians, it's important for us, and it's a biblical principle, to sort of step back and ask the question before we decide what to give or how to give, why should we give? And so I don't want you to even imagine an offering envelope or a plate, you know? I've heard stories of churches, they don't get enough, they pass the plates again until they get enough or whatever. We're not that kind of church. We don't talk about money a lot. But it is important for us to ask the question, why should we consider giving? And I want you to expand your horizon of not just an offering plate, but your whole life. Your life is actually supposed to be a life of giving. I mean, consider when God created everything and put Adam and Eve in the garden. He told them pretty much go give. He used different words. Go, garden. Go, do it. Take care of it. That's what giving is, essentially. And so there's 4 points we're going to look at today. The first point is this. When we consider why we should give, letter A, we do not give because God needs us to give to Him. That's an important point. God does not need anything from you or me. We do not give because God needs us to give to Him. Everything is already God's. I remember when I was at the seminary, fourth year, I was struggling. Do I stay and do graduate work or do I go out and be a pastor? And I mentioned something to one of my friends. And I mentioned, well, if I don't become a pastor right away, what if there's a church that doesn't have a pastor? You know, and then they don't have a pastor and then something happens. And if I would have taken the call, it wouldn't have happened. But if I don't take the call, it could happen. And he said, Mark, God doesn't need you. And it's a very humbling experience. And he was right. God does not need me. If God is big enough and He created everything, then He does not need my stuff. He doesn't need your stuff. That's not why we give. In fact, the cover of the bulletin in a beautiful passage, Psalm 24, it reminds us this. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. For He founded it upon the seas and established it on the water. And that passage reminds us of two very important points. The earth is God's. When I say earth, everything is God's. And number two, and everything that's in it. That's everything. That means you are God's. The earth is God's, and everything is God's. So imagine next time we say the Apostles' Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. If he's the maker of heaven and earth, and He made everything out of nothing, right, by His power, His word, He owns what? Everything, right? He owns everything. He owns me. He owns my kids, my wife. He owns my house. He owns my dog. He owns my food. He owns my stomach, my brain. He owns the stars. He is the maker and owner of everything. So how much do I own? Nothing. Yet God has entrusted me with this creation. He's entrusted you with this creation. And so the first thing about stewardship, about giving, is to consider everything is already God's. It's not mine. He owns everything. I own nothing. And yet, He gives me stuff to take care of, just like He did Adam and Eve before the fall. And so the reflection question I'd like you, or we'd like you to consider this week, is, have you considered lately that your life and everything you see and touch is God's? And does that change the way you look at life when you wake up in the morning or your possessions? If so, how? So think about that this week. Principle number two, why should we consider giving? Well, that's under B. We do not give to God because we are generous. This may be a shocker. We do not give to God because we are generous. Why do we give to God? Because God is generous. And I think if anybody in the world struggles with this one the most, it's us, Americans. Because we have our daily needs met on a regular daily basis all the time. Until you wake up in the morning and don't have clean water. I can't imagine being in Flint, Michigan, where you have all that water, and you wake up and you can't take a drink of clean water. We've had a boil thing once in a while. We get through it in a couple days. But if you walk into this church on any given day, you can walk into the coffee shop and drink clean water until your stomach is full. In half the world, they don't have clean water. Until you lose your just normal basic needs, we take that for granted. The ability to breathe clean air, to have clothes, to eat a balanced meal every single day. Half the world, a third of the world at least, does not have that. Once in a while in our ministry, we'll run into somebody who doesn't have that because of a health need. Remember one particular day, this guy was not a Christian. He was dying of cancer. I went to go visit him. He was a family member of a member early in my ministry, and he was having a movement. And the nurses couldn't see it or didn't know that was happening. And I walked in, didn't know this guy, and he's sort of yelling, but he could barely yell. So I get the nurses, they come and get him, they get him cleaned up, and he was so thankful for being able to have human dignity that he allowed me to share the gospel to him. He was an atheist. He died a Christian just because a human need was met. God is generous. That's why we give, not because we're generous. We don't try to become generous. God is generous. That's why we give. In Malachi, he scolds the people. Because even the leaders of the church were saying they were giving us much money, but they were keeping it for themselves. They were being corrupt. And this is what God tells them. Test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates in the heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops and the vines, your fields, and not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed. For yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. God reminds us, he's in charge of everything. He's generous. He gives us what we need when we need it. Trust him. And then Jesus, in the New Testament, he's talking to people asking him about possessions. He says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid of what you're going to eat or drink or wear. You're worth more than many sparrows. And if God cares for the sparrows, how much more is he caring for you, is Jesus' point. So this week, think about how God is generous in caring for your earthly needs. And here's a question. List 3 ways in the past year that God has been generous to you in earthly needs. And if God is generous in earthly needs, that is great, but turn it over. He is even greater, more generous in caring for eternal needs. And this is what matters most. Because God has created us to live eternally. That's why we hate death. He's wired us to want to live forever. And when we see death, it hurts. We yearn for forever. God has wired us for that. And the great news is the gospel. John 3:16 maybe says it best. That's why it's so well known. God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son. That whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave his son. How much more generous can a God be than to give his son a death so you can live forever? And so Paul, in light of this truth, asked the question for us. It's his question, not mine. In Romans 8, he says it like this. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If God cares about your salvation, your eternity, do you think he cares about your now and your tomorrow and your yesterday? Yes, he does. He's got a huge plan, a wonderful plan that you'll never be able to imagine how wonderful it is. And so when we give, we're not giving to become generous. We're giving simply because God has been so generous in our earthly needs and most of all in our eternal needs. It's important for us to reflect on that this week and this month and every year. Letter C, a third point. Why we give says a lot about how we view three things, if you think about it. Our possessions, the people around us, our neighbor, and our God. And if you get the first two questions wrong, if you think you need to give God something, or you think you're going to show God how generous you are, that says a lot about how you view things. God himself, the people around you, and your possessions. And to illustrate this point, Jesus told a parable in our gospel lesson. He's got two brothers fighting over possessions. They come to Jesus. You be the arbiter. Jesus is like, I'm not going to be your arbiter. And he tells them the parable. Hey, there's a rich man. He owns so much stuff. And then God blessed him even more. The stock market went through the roof. He had a huge bumper crop. And so what did he do? He consulted himself. Didn't pray about it. Didn't go into the community and say, hey, what can I do for you? Didn't talk to his neighbors. He consulted himself. And what plan does he come up with? Rip down all the barns, build bigger barns, put all my stuff in the really big barns. The problem, Jesus said, is the Creator, who owns everything, who is so generous to give this guy all this stuff, and this guy who didn't view God as the Creator and owner, the guy who didn't see the people who are hungry in his community as worthy of helping, or anybody in the community to consult with all the stuff he had, the guy who thought everything was his and he earned it all, he kept it all for himself. And God called his life that night. You fool, God called him. Jesus says to us, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. It's a perspective of life. It's not to say you shouldn't save. It's not to say that you can't save for a vacation or a new car or college education. Not saying that. But God has entrusted you with possessions. They're his. But he's put them on loan. Your kids are his. He's given them to you on loan. Your house, your dog, your hermit crab, he's given to you on loan. He wants you to take care of them. He wants you to bless them. But it's not just the people that live in your house. It's the people that live on your street, in your community, in your world. God is generous. And God gives you stuff to take care of. And the way you look at it says a lot about how you view your possessions, your neighbor, and God. And so we can sum up these three points with a good catechism lesson, which is letter D. The catechism asks the question, what do we owe God? And the first thing the Lutheran faith is very clear on is you owe God nothing for your salvation because Jesus paid for your salvation. So I guess I really don't like that question, what do we owe God? But I like the answer. It says it is our duty too. So for us who have been saved by Jesus, it is our duty or our response, if you want to use that word, to do two things, respond in two ways. First, that we thank, praise, serve, and obey God our Father, who not only created us, but has saved us for eternity. If we're going to thank and praise and serve our veterans, which we should, who protect us, how much more should we thank, praise, serve, and obey the Creator of the heavens and the earth who died for us, right? He's the ultimate veteran because of his sacrifice, my grandfathers and great-grandfathers, veterans, are going to raise to everlasting life, physical, flesh and blood, eternal life. And so every veteran from every nation, whoever believed in God's promises in Jesus, we should thank, praise, serve, and obey God our Father because of Jesus. Second, it all goes back to the beginning. Adam and Eve, go tend the garden. You want to build a garden here? Build it here. You want to make pomegranate juice out of the pomegranates? Go do it. Make it good. You want to make it into a smoothie? Add some yogurt? Great. Go do it. Do it good. Take care of the crickets. and the cicadas, and even the mosquitoes, because before the fall, they didn't suck your blood. Take care of the creation. Go out, have fun, and do it. God wants you to see everything you got as a way to take care of his creation. And this is how we'll end this sermon. Think about this. God did not save us for ourselves. This is not written down, but just think about this. God did not save us for ourselves. He does not give you possessions so that you can take care of yourself. And God did not save us from the world to retreat and have our own little piece of the pie. God rather saved us to be in the world, to take care of it, just like Adam and Eve. He saved us to be blessings to others. That's why we give. We're not talking about how much you give or what to give. It's just simply, why do we give? It's not because we're generous. It's not because God needs us. If I don't take good care of my stuff, God's going to figure a way out how to take care of it. He's going to do it. He's good at doing that stuff. But God wants me to thank, praise, and serve him and to be a good steward because of all he's done for me. He wants me to say, God, you're so generous. I love you. And that's what stewardship's about. So this week and next week and every week you live on this planet until God calls you home, remember how generous God is for you. Remember, he doesn't need your stuff. It's already his. But God has given you the kingdom of God. You don't need anything else. And now you get to go out and have fun taking care of his creation. So go do that with joy in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.